Orange County Commissioners and Chatham County Commissioners are both slated to meet later today. Chatham County Commissioners meeting in the morning at 9 a.m. for a work session on the county's capital improvement plan. Orange County Commissioners meet at 7 o'clock tonight in the Witted Building with an agenda that includes a report from the area's Metropolitan Planning Organization and a discussion about using county-owned property for affordable housing. Before that meeting, commissioners will join a reception in honor of longtime clerk Donna Baker, who passed away in 2020. The board's meeting room has been named in her honor. Over to the schools now, where we're in the final week of classes before winter break. This is the second school year where students are back to in-person classes after the pandemic, but not all students have returned to the classroom, and officials say everyone's vastly different experiences during COVID have reinforced the importance of what's called student-directed learning. Kevin Smith is the Chief Public Information Officer for Orange County Schools.
There are a lot of students who haven't opted back into traditional public schools. They're looking for different ways to get at the things that they want. So whether you're thinking of it through an equity lens or through a career in college lens, student-directed learning and people taking advantage of opportunities to get what they need in a way that they need it. We've had to learn a lot. I know that our state is thinking about rethinking blended learning, hybrid learning, learning opportunities. And being on that learning journey is something that I think a lot more of our students and families are thinking about. How can I get what I need when I need it in a way that works for me? I know that for us, empowering excellence means making sure that every student gets what they need so that they can succeed. How do we create more and more opportunities for students to choose something that works for them in this post-pandemic world, I think is one of the challenges that we're facing in Orange County schools and probably in all of the districts that you're talking about here.
That's Kevin Smith speaking there in the K-12 panel of our Forum on the Hill last week. You can listen back to that panel and others at chapelboro.com/forumonthehill. Over now to campus, where UNC officials are awaiting a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court on whether the Constitution allows colleges and universities to take race into account when making admissions decisions. But that controversy has reignited scrutiny of another thing that admissions offices will consider, one that critics say reinforces longstanding inequalities rather than trying to overcome them. We're talking here about so-called legacy admissions, and Chris Kammerer has more on that for Carolina Connection.
When UNC and Harvard defended affirmative action for nearly 5 hours of oral arguments at the Supreme Court, it seemed both sides agreed there was one admissions practice that should be reexamined, the consideration of legacy status. That's the practice of giving priority to applicants whose parents or relatives are alumni of the school they're applying to. Jenna A. Robinson is president of the James G. Martin Center for Academic Renewal, a conservative nonprofit that studies education issues in Raleigh.
Legacy admissions de facto favor students who are high income, usually white. And so if you want to simply even the playing field, make sure that merit is what matters, then get rid of those legacy preferences.
During UNC's oral arguments, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson wondered what might happen if race considerations become unconstitutional, raising a hypothetical that pointed directly at legacy status.
The first applicant says, "I will be the fifth generation to graduate from the University of North Carolina. I want to honor my family's legacy by going to this school." The second applicant says, "I'm from North Carolina. My family's been in this area for generations since before the Civil War, but they were slaves and never had a chance to attend this venerable institution. And given my family background, it's important to me to attend this university." Now, as I understand your no race conscious admissions rule, the first applicant would be able to have his family background considered and valued by the institution, while the second one wouldn't be able to.
A study published in 2010 from Harvard's Graduate School of Education analyzed data from 30 highly selective universities across the country. It found that applicants with legacy status averaged 3 times the odds of being accepted compared with non-legacy applicants. Here's Holden Thorpe, who was chancellor of UNC from 2008 to 2013.
Of course, it's true that the children of people who went to Carolina, big donors, friends of politicians, a lot of this stuff goes into the mix. And working as much of that out of the system as we can over time would be a great thing. But it's everywhere in higher education. There's no question about it.
After leaving UNC, Thorpe took over as provost at Washington University in St. Louis for 6 years.
When I got to Wash U, there was a very small percentage of students who were eligible for Pell Grants and also low numbers of Black and Hispanic students.
As provost, Thorpe was put in charge of trying to increase diversity at Wash U.
Every time I went to the board to say, "We've upped Black students, Hispanic students, low-income students," they always asked me, you know, how much our SAT scores went down. And I would say, I'm sorry, but our SAT scores went up. And the reason is because there's this vast underserved pool of outstanding students in this country. And that pool is much bigger and more academically qualified than the pool of children of alumni.
How difficult do you think it would be to get rid of legacy admissions at UNC?
I think it'd be really hard. I think it'd be as hard at UNC as just about anywhere, because there's such a strong sense of loyalty and attachment to the institution.
But Thorpe pointed to Johns Hopkins University, which began phasing out legacy preferences in 2009. At that point, legacy admissions accounted for 12.5% of the undergraduate population. Today, legacy students are around 3%. By comparison, statistics from UNC's Office of Undergraduate Admissions typically report that 17 to 19% of enrollees at UNC each fall are children of alumni.
The alumni have very high expectations that they'll receive that, and nobody has the courage to go to the alumni and say, we're not going to do it anymore.
In the conclusion of the Harvard study, which calculated the advantage for legacy applicants, the author wrote that donations from alumni are increasingly important to the well-being of universities and ensure academic excellence for future generations of students. On the other hand, Johns Hopkins president Ronald J. Daniels claimed in an interview in 2020 that ending legacy preferences hasn't decreased alumni donations. They've actually been increasing. In Chapel Hill, I'm Chris Kammerer.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media that airs Saturday mornings during the fall and spring semesters on 97.9 The Hill. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Olmaz Jewelers. UNC men's basketball is back in action tonight, looking to build on Saturday's win over Georgia Tech when they host the Citadel in the Smith Center this evening. Head coach Hubert Davis on building trust among his players and what they can take forward from that win over Georgia Tech.
It's, you know, it's interesting. I thought that trust would already be there after what happened last year. But again, it's just another example. Every year is different. It's just, this is a new team. And just developing that trust of that I've got your back on both ends of the floor, that's something, again, one of the things that I said is I got to talk to them about it every day, and I've got to reinforce it every day. And I've got to continue to show them. So when we show them tape, I show them, good stuff and bad stuff. And so stuff where we can improve, but stuff that we've done really well. And so it gives them a clear picture of where I want them to play. And that's what we'll do after this game and in preparation for the Citadel on Tuesday, that these are the type of plays that are winning plays, and these are the things that we have to continue to do on a consistent basis.
And Super Davis there. Tip-off time against the Citadel is at 7 o'clock this evening. We'll have it all for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, starting at 5:30 with Countdown to Tip-Off. UNC women's basketball is off tonight, but the Heels are up one spot to number 7 in the AP rankings. Fourth week in a row, Carolina's been in the top 8. The Tar Heel Tribune reports that's the first time that's happened since 2009. Other ACC teams in the top 10, Notre Dame is number 5, Virginia Tech number 6, NC State at number 8. The Heels face USC Upstate in their next game coming up on Friday. In football, more accolades for Tar Heel wide receiver Josh Downs, just named a second team All-American by the Associated Press. Downs has already announced his college career is over, and he's skipping the Holiday Bowl to get ready for the NFL draft in April. And finally, congrats to UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham, just named to the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Board of Directors for a 4-year term starting in 2023.